Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
Well, welcome to Creation Matters. I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and this is KGNW 820 AM, and this is Christian Talk Radio. And in the studio today with me is Pete Talbot from Hope Now Live.
Hey, thank you for inviting me. I'm actually, folks, just going to be sitting here and maybe putting my two cents worth in every once in a while. But, Mike, I just want you to know Dr. Randy Bridges and I were talking just last night after our program, the Monday night edition of Hope Now Live, how excited we are about having you as the Tuesday night edition of Hope Now Live. In fact, he says, you've got to get me together with Mike Riddle. I've got to have, maybe he can come out and teach in my geology class. Maybe he can come out and teach in chapel at Puget Sound Christian College. So you're about to get an invitation, and we're going to go to lunch with Mike. Or with Randy, if that's okay with you.
Well, I always love a free food there.
Well, who said we're buying, Mike?
Oh, okay.
But we will.
But we've got a show here for you tonight. How about this? Do you think the popular teaching about dinosaurs today is harming our children's belief in the Bible? And how about this question for you Christians? Where do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? Where in the history of the Bible do the dinosaurs fit? Well, we're going to try and answer a lot of those questions here tonight. And if you're interested, you can give us a call at the local call, 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800, or toll free, 800-955-8200. And the way we want to do this show is we want to do a lot of good teaching, because we don't seem to get that a lot of times in some of our school systems, and even some of our churches are seeming to compromise God's word. So we want to talk about dinosaurs.
You know, Mike, I'm 55, and I was raised in the church, and I don't remember one time growing up in the fundamental evangelical church as a child or even as a young adult. Quite frankly, I don't think I remember it as an adult either, where this topic was discussed. It was kind of like, oh, well, we believe in creation, but and we don't believe in evolution, but that was about as far as the church got. Is that changing?
It's somewhat changing, but you know, when we talk about just the churches in the greater Seattle area, there's a lot of churches. We can talk to the leaders in the church. We ask them, do you believe in creation? But you know, here's the problem. Many will say they believe in creation, but when we get down to the real core issues, what we find out is they don't believe in the biblical creation. They've
really
actually brought in outside ideas, billions of years and other philosophies into the Bible.
Really?
And you don't, if you go to our website, you can actually see the churches that we know of that teach a biblical creation. You go to our website, creationmatters.org.
Good.
And you go on there, you can find a whole list of, and I won't say it's a whole list, it's a partial list. We hope there's more. Right now, we only know of about 8 to 9 churches in the greater Seattle area.
Amazing.
That teach a true biblical creation.
Creationmatters.org. Okay, for your question today, basically dinosaurs. There are people, in fact, I think as a child, I remember clearly wondering if they really did exist, because the church and Sunday school teachers, pastors, they weren't talking about it. And so I thought maybe that was part of evolution that I wasn't supposed to believe. It was always a question mark. So maybe that's a good place to start tonight.
Well, you know, we find dinosaur bones on every continent on this planet. We have dinosaur graveyards all over this country, especially in areas like Wyoming, Colorado, Montana. We find thousands and thousands and thousands of dinosaurs in just this country alone. And some of these bones, just the leg bone is more than 10 feet tall, sometimes 15 feet tall.
Really?
So we know they existed. There's no doubt that they existed. But here's some of the questions, like, do they fit into biblical history? And how many kinds of dinosaurs were there really that existed on this planet? What happened to the dinosaurs? And here's one of the best questions I like to ask. See, there's good questions and there's better questions.
Okay.
Here's one of my favorite questions. Where did the dinosaurs come from? You know, when I go to museums, you know what I see? Dinosaurs. When I open up all these dinosaur books, you know what I see? Dinosaurs. You know what I don't see? All the thousands and thousands of intermediates that led up to the dinosaurs. It just appears that they just suddenly were in the fossil record with no transitions leading up to them. So the question is, where did they come from? How many kinds were there? And one of my favorite talks I do all over the country is a dinosaur talk for first through sixth graders. And they just love this. You know, when I do that talk for first through sixth graders, I get more adults than I do children there a lot of times.
You
and
bet.
When I get all done, you know what I normally get is the adults learn more than the children.
Yeah.
Because the children already know how to pronounce their names. And the adults, they're learning all that there.
Yeah.
But we find some amazing scientific evidence about the dinosaurs. We even find some amazing things in the Bible about dinosaurs. Well, let's start with our first question. How many kinds of dinosaurs do you really think there were, Pete? And I always give people a choice of this. I say, how about only about 50 different kinds of dinosaurs? How about maybe 700 different kinds of dinosaurs?
Maybe
about 5,000 different kinds of dinosaurs? And when I get answers to that, they're all over the board, but most people choose about 700 to 5,000.
Oh, they do.
But you know, that's not true. Only about 50 to maybe 100 different kinds of dinosaurs existed. And people's eyes will just roll over when you make that kind of statement. But they're forgetting something, something they weren't taught. It's called genetic variability. You know, when we look at dogs, there's over 200 flavors of dogs, but they're all dogs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Their DNA says every one of them's a dog. Coyotes, wolves, Great Danes, collies, even the poodle, as Ken Ham might say. Incidentally, if you're going to listen next week, Ken Ham will be on our station live, and your chance to talk to him personally.
Great.
Be talking about biblical creation. How about this when we look at people? You know, we have people coming in all sizes and shapes, tall people, short people, all different shades. But you know, we're all people, aren't we? The same for the cat family. You know, when I look at these dinosaurs, I go to these museums, I see these great big sauropods. The nickname for them is long necks. They look very similar, don't they? Isn't it possible all those long necks were just one kind with genetic variability? So only maybe one kind of long neck had to go in the ark? I look at this other kind of dinosaur called the Ceratopsia. These are those dinosaurs, big bony frills around their neck and long horns like the Triceratops. Isn't it possible they were all one kind of dinosaur with genetic variability, just like every other kind of creature existed on this planet? See, we seem to rule that possibility out for dinosaurs, or just don't think about it or teach it. So when we put it all together, maybe only about 50 different kinds of dinosaurs. So that becomes very important when we start talking about the Ark. And here's another question we need to solve today. Were dinosaurs on the Ark? And if they, how in the world could you get those great big creatures on the Ark?
Hey, I'm embarrassed to tell you, Mike. I'm a little anxious to hear the answers. I don't know the answers, and I'm embarrassed about that.
Well, that's okay, because a lot of people don't, because they're in the same situation where it's just not taught in most churches. And even in a lot of Christian schools, it's avoided.
You ask the question, you know, where'd they come from? I might ask the question, where'd they go?
Another great question we want to answer. Are the dinosaurs still living today? Did they become extinct 65 million years ago, as we're commonly taught? If you think you know the answers to some of these questions, give us a call at 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800, or our toll-free line, 800-955-8200. Well, let's do some more teaching about these dinosaurs. You know, what about the Bible? Does the Bible really teach about dinosaurs? And you know it does. Let's go back to day six of creation. What did God create on day six of creation? Well, we know he made Adam and Eve, so he made the first couple there. But it also talks about cattle and those things that go creepeth and the beast of the earth. In other words, on day six of creation, God created the land animals. That's the only day God created the land animals. Now, who were the land animals? Well, they were the lions, the tigers, the giraffes, hippopotamus, and the dinosaurs. They were land animals. So the Bible clearly teaches right there God made the dinosaurs on day six of creation.
No longer a question mark in anybody's mind. God made them.
It shouldn't be.
He created
because
them.
If you're saying dinosaurs existed 65 million years before then you're saying, wait a minute, there's some information missing out of God's creation. God didn't tell us the whole truth there, because he says right there. But you know, there's some other information about dinosaurs in the Bible. When we go to Job chapter 40, verses 15 through 18, it talks about a very incredible creature called Behemoth, which means beast of beast. In other words, this is the largest beast that God created, Behemoth. And here's the description Job chapter 40 gives. Now, this is God describing this creature to Job. And here's what he says. It says, this beast, it's a plant-eater. It's a plant-eater. So that's number one. That means it's not an alligator, folks, because alligators eat us. They don't eat plants. They eat meat. Then it says it has a tail like a cedar. Now, cedar is a large tree, sometimes 40 to 50 feet tall. So it's not, it means it has a large tail. Then it goes on and has bones like bars of iron. Then it says it is the chief of the ways of God. This is the largest creature God created. Now, wait a minute. The hippopotamus is not the largest creature God ever created, as most Bible commentaries might say. We need to make sure right now we understand the commentaries in the Bibles are not the inspired word of God. So we have to understand that. So it's not a hippopotamus, because hippopotamus, what kind of tail does it have? It has a twig for a tail. Then we have the elephant. Could it be the elephant? No, the elephant was not the largest creature that ever existed, because we know dinosaurs were bigger than that. And what kind of a tail does an elephant have? It's got a short one. So it's not an alligator, not a hippopotamus, and it's not an elephant. God is describing some kind of creature to Job that we have never seen. And you know, when you put that description together, it looks an awful lot like an apatosaurus. So an apatosaurus being one of those long-necked creatures, one of the largest creatures that ever existed on this planet. So it looks like the Bible is clearly talking about dinosaurs. Well, is that logical? Well, certainly if God made dinosaurs on day six, then people would have seen the dinosaurs. So the Bible clearly teaches that. You know, the Bible also talks about dragons. And we're going to come back to this, and we're going to talk about another amazing creature called the Leviathan when we come back. And if you want to give us a call, 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Chris on the cell phone. Welcome back to Creation Matters, and this is your host, Mike Riddle, from Hope Now Live, and we're talking about dinosaurs. When did they live? What happened to them? Where did they come from? Is it affecting our children's education when we learn the Bible? Does the Bible and the dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago contradict that?
And maybe some of our listeners have questions that have always plagued them. Maybe they've even been afraid to ask their pastor or their Sunday school teacher or what have you. They've been embarrassed, like me, quite frankly, here, Mike, to ask some of these questions because, quite frankly, this overall topic really hasn't been discussed much in the church. And these are the people, they can call you right now and ask you these questions, can't they?
Yes, if they want to call, you can call 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800. Or you can call our toll-free line at 800-955-8200. And now let's go to Chris on the line here. You have a question about dinosaurs.
I do. KGNW is awesome. I learned so much from you guys. I have a question about some pictures that I had seen in a publication. They looked like ancient Chinese or Indian scrolls or paintings of people coexisting with dinosaurs, like they're using them for pulling plows or whatever. Are such pictures in existence or no?
Well, we're not sure whether they used dinosaurs for pulling plows because what we see from their brain capacity, they didn't have a very large brain. For instance, Stegosaurus had the brain about the size of a walnut. Tyrannosaurus rex was a little bit larger, but you know, we do have very good scientific evidence of people and dinosaurs living together, and we do have some pictures that might support that. For instance, Chris, first of all, we didn't know scientifically that dinosaurs existed until the 1800s. We had found bones, but we didn't know what they were. Not until the 1800s did scientists fit it all together and say, we've got something new here called dinosaurs. Incidentally, that's when the word dinosaur was invented in about the 1840s. So we may have called them something different before then, called dragons. You know, in the Bible, it talks about dragons, not just of Satan, but as real creatures, maybe things like the behemoth. But here's some other information about dinosaurs and pictures. Again, we didn't know dinosaurs existed until the 1800s, but you know, there's many legends and traditions of dinosaurs before the 1800s. St. George the Dragon Slayer, Beowulf, Nebuchadnezzar, one of the national symbols of China is the dragon.
Right.
Now, how did all these people get ideas of dragons when we didn't have telephones to communicate back then? So they all had to come up with these ideas separately. Then we also have what are called petroglyphs. These are paintings on the sides of canyon walls and caves.
Right.
They're identical to dinosaurs. These are not brand new. These have been around for a while, maybe 1,000 years. So there's good evidence. How did these people know to draw these pictures of dinosaurs if nobody ever saw one? And then, here's some more. You go over to Northern England. There's a cathedral over there in Northern England called the Carlisle Cathedral. Now, that cathedral was built in the late 1200s. That's way before the 1800s. And you walk down the center aisle of that cathedral, and there's a carpet that covers up a grave, the grave of Bishop Bell. He was buried there in 1496. That's way before the 1800s again. Now, you lift that carpet up, and what you find is a large brass ring going around his grave, his tomb there. And you look at that brass ring, what you find carved into that brass ring are clear pictures of animals and very clear pictures of dinosaurs. Somebody had to see these creatures. Now, if you want more information, you can go to our website. We actually have pictures of these on our website. Go to creationmatters.org. That's all one word, creationmatters.org, and click on the Creation Matters icon at the top. It has the little KGNW emblem in there. And from there, you'll go to a page that can give you a complete list of other papers written on this about dinosaurs and people, when they died out. And you'll see one of the links in there has pictures of these creatures. And also you'll see a picture of the brass ring going around the Carlisle Cathedral. Great question, Chris. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Now, what about these dinosaurs? Some more information. We need to talk about, where did the dinosaurs come from? What's the standard story about dinosaurs? Where did they come from? You know, when I read these textbooks, what I commonly see is 220 million years ago, the dinosaurs evolved into existence. But can that be true? Is there any evidence to support that? Well, you know, I've gone through about a dozen different biology textbooks. And all these textbooks, only two of them were able to give a single intermediate creature leading up to the dinosaurs. Only two of them could do that. Now, wait a minute. If dinosaurs evolved into existence, shouldn't there be millions of intermediates? Well, let me give you an idea of this one creature they had. It was called the thecondent. And here's the actual quote from this biology textbook. And they say this about the thecondent, the supposed intermediate. Small lizards that ran on two legs and gave rise to the giant reptiles collectively known as the dinosaurs. Now, let's think about this thing critically here. If a small two-legged creature were to give rise to these four-legged behemoths, these great big long necks, shouldn't we find thousands, if not millions, of transitions leading from a small two-legged creature up to these large behemoth creatures? We should find two-legged creatures, three-legged creatures, three-and-a-half-legged creatures, long necks, short necks, half-leg, half-necks. Where are all these intermediates? We don't find them. I don't see them in the museums. I don't see them in the textbooks. And think of this again. This small creature that ran around on two legs, no armor around it, how could that evolve into one of these triceratop creatures, has big bones around its neck and large horns, without leaving a trace of evidence? In other words, aren't we being asked to believe the evolution story by faith? Doesn't science require real observable evidence? Where is the evidence? We simply don't seem to find it anywhere. It's as if the dinosaurs suddenly appeared as if they were created after their kind, exactly as the Bible teaches.
Boy, I have to say, Mike, this is just blowing me away. I love the stuff. It's no wonder you're so busy speaking all over the country. To actually hear the science and hear the facts is great. And now, folks, we're going to take another call right now. But before we do, I want you to know that you can be a part of this program, too. I know you've got questions out there. I've had questions. How about you just join in this, in essence, right here in the studio? Give Mike a call.
Yes.
Make a comment. Call us. Our number right in the studio locally, 206-374-8800. It's 206-374-8800. Or around the state and up north and south, toll-free 800-955-8200. Go on. Give a call. Be a part of the program. Ask your questions. We know you got them. 800-955-8200.
Yes. How to teach about dinosaurs at home to your students. Let's go to Russ now in Bellevue.
Hi, Mike.
How are you doing today, Russ?
Good, good. I hope you're doing well. I appreciate you taking this to the airwaves. It's a good positive reinforcement for people to hear that, you know, in fact, The myth of evolution is just that. It's a faith-based belief system rather than scientific evidence.
Thank you for that,
Russ. You sort of stole my thunder a little bit, because I was going to call and ask you to comment on the either the presence or the lack of intermediary steps along the evolutional process. And you sort of already spoke about that. But real quickly, there was a recent article that was published in the National Geographic, and the question was Darwin right, wrong? And then the author goes on to great lengths to point out that no, Darwin was right, and that there are intermediary species. And did you have a chance to see that? I don't have it in front of me, so I can't comment on what he says they were, but are you familiar with that article?
I've not gone through the entire article yet, but what I've been told, I've talked to some other scientists that have been through it, and what they said is they made a great claim of all these intermediates, but they were unable to support it with any observable information.
My perception was they said there's a lot of them, but, you know, Joe found them. And they don't show you exactly what Joe found. They just commented on the fact that Joe found these. So I'm sure I'm paraphrasing too much. But
you're exactly right, because here they're making another great claim without producing the evidence. That's called faith. They're asking you and me and everybody else out there to accept it by faith.
Our kids.
And the ironic thing is they tell you in the article, you know, you don't have to have faith and to believe in evolution. The evidence is there. I think it's kind of interesting.
Right. That's the common thing we get in the textbooks, too. If the evidence is there, let's put it in the museums, folks. Let's not have our artists draw these pictures. I need to see the truthful fossils, the bones, in the museums, or else I've already got a faith, folks. It's called a faith in Jesus Christ, who has something to offer me. What does evolution have to offer you?
And lastly, before I go, I was wondering if you could comment on the fact that natural selection actually leads to depletion of the genetic pool rather than increases in genetic material.
That's a great question when we talk about natural selection and mutations. Now, one thing evolutionists get a little mixed up on is what is natural selection. And matter of fact, Darwin got a little confused on it, too. He understood parts of it, but we took it further than it can actually mean. Natural selection, we do believe. It does exist. We see it all the time. Now, what does it mean? It means our ability to adapt to our environment. It also means the survival of the fittest. But here's the thing about natural selection. It only works with existing information. It has never been shown to add new genetic information, which is a key criteria for evolution, to have new genetic information. And just as you said there, Chris, Russ, most through natural selection causes a loss of information, never a gain. So how does evolution work? Well, the natural selection is supposed to be their big thing there. But, you know, as of 1999, it was recognized in the human species alone we have over 11,000 known genetic mistakes in us, mutations and mistakes there. In other words, we're going the wrong way, folks. We're going the wrong way. Now, when we come back, we want to talk more about this natural selection, because that is a wonderful question. We want to talk more about these fossils. And I want to talk about, did you know we're finding unfossilized dinosaur bones today? What does that mean, and how does that affect the evolution story if we're finding unfossilized dinosaur bones?
Hey, folks, I hope you are as engaged as I am in this conversation. Call Mike Riddle right now on Creation Matters.
Welcome back to Creation Matters, and this is Christian Talk Radio, AM 820, and I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and we're talking about dinosaurs. Did people really live at the same time as dinosaurs? And what about all this evolution teaching of dinosaurs? How is that affecting our belief in God's Word? And we've been talking a lot about where did dinosaurs come from, and so far we have not been able to find any observable evidence where they came from other than what the Bible teaches. If you have some questions about that, give us a call at 206-374-8800 or our toll-free number, 800-955-8200, if you have some questions.
You know, this just makes me think, Mike, we were talking at the break, that this is so exciting because people are hearing things that they're hearing for the first time in such a beautiful manner, I might point out, Mike. You're just doing a wonderful job. And our hope is, our prayer is, that many of you listeners not only will call us right now, and really you ought to call us with your questions. We hope you'll do that. Again, our toll-free number, 800-955-8200. But we hope you're going to go to your Sunday school teachers. We hope you're going to go to your elders. We hope you're going to go to your pastors and say, hey, this is great stuff. Why aren't we hearing this? Why aren't our kids hearing this in our church? This is critical stuff. This will give form. This will give shape. This will give meaning to our children's faith and to our faith, even as adults. This is really critical stuff. So be encouraged, everybody. I'm just praising the Lord that Mike and Creation Matters is a part of the Hope Now Live program every Tuesday night. Start telling your friends and have them tune in. Again, now with your questions, you call us toll-free, 800-955-8200. Mike, I understand we had a caller call in that we lost as a result of cell site, but he had a question.
Yes, there was a question now about human fossils and dinosaur bones and fossils. Do we ever find them together? And as far as we know, we really haven't found them together, and that's a logical way we should find them, not together. Why? Well, first of all, some of these creatures got very big, and we don't want to live next to creatures that live very big that would, one, eat us for lunch or dinner, or might even step on us. We don't find very many human bones with lion bones. Why? Because we don't live in the same area. We don't live next door to wild animals. The only time we might find human and bones with lion bones is they're fresh meat. They just got eaten, but they're not going to fossilize because they're going to be out there and be discarded because the bacteria are going to get to them. The oxygen is going to make them decay. They're not going to get buried fast. But since people and dinosaurs probably would not have lived in the same general area, we would not expect them to be found together. So that was a great question. That's a very often asked question.
And don't animals usually go away and hide when they're going to die?
That's right.
In essence?
A lot of animals are afraid of people.
Yeah. And when they know they're going to die, they usually go someplace.
Yes. Dinosaurs, whether they've been afraid of people or not, probably wouldn't even have seen us half the time because some of them got so big, they just go around stepping on us. But, Pete, you made an interesting statement that we do need to get this information in the churches. And if you're interested in getting this information in the churches, you can go to our website, creationmatters.org, and look at our schedule. And we can come in and help train people in your church. We can speak in your church. We can give lots of information. You can see all the different topics we talk about. And you'll also see that we are a listener-supported ministry. We work with you people, and we rely on you people to help keep shows like this on the radio. We need your support and help. And we're in the business now of creating a lot of new educational materials that have not been done before on this whole creation topic with the latest scientific evidences and what the Bible has to say. What are the Hebrew scholars having to say? We're creating materials for just about the dinosaurs for children. We have a whole new program. We're going to be coming out with a DVD fully animated to rival some of these great TV shows that you see out there that teach the truth. But we do need support for doing things like that. We have new DVDs and books on the origin of humans, the geology. Did you know the geology supports a very young Earth? But that'll be another topic. But you can see all those things on our website, creationmatters.org. Now let's get back to some of these questions. What happened to the dinosaurs? That's a very interesting one. You know, the standard story is about 65 million years ago, a meteor came down, struck this planet, and all the dinosaurs just magically died out. Is that a true story? Well, we need to do some critical thinking here. Is there any evidence to support that? Well, the killer meteor that came down, supposedly struck 65 million years ago, is found in the Yucatan Peninsula in the Gulf of Mexico. It's called the Chicxulub Crater. Now, they make the claim that that impact occurred about 65 million years ago. They call it the KT boundary era, the Cretaceous-Tertiary boundary. Now, let me give you a little teaching on that. We have our supposed geologic column. We have this geologic column. Incidentally, that's another geology thing we're going to talk about. You know the only place the geologic column is found in its entirety, meaning it's all the layers and its thickness, is in a textbook? But that'll be a story we'll have to cover a later time because that will cover a full hour easily. But we look back in the geologic column, we have the lowest layers, we have the Precambrian, then the Cambrian, then as we move up, we have the dinosaur layers eventually, the Triassic period, 245 million years ago started, then the Jurassic period, where we have about 208 million years ago, then the Cretaceous period, about 65 million years ago, then the Tertiary. So they make this claim that this meteor came down between the Cretaceous and Tertiary periods about 65 million years ago and killed all the dinosaurs. Well, let's do some critical thinking about that. See, we're not able to do that a lot of times in school. We're just asked to believe something. Well, first thing about that is when we do the dating of those rocks in that area, they have not been able to establish an exact date. You see, they believe it was a meteor impact because of a chemical found there called iridium. Now, iridium does come from meteors. We do find that chemical in meteors. But you know, it also comes from volcanoes. And this layer of iridium, which is supposed to be one layer around the world, is not true. We find it spread over large vertical layers, sometimes covering up to about a half a million years, according to evolutionist thinking. This does not appear like it came from a single meteor. This looks like it came from many years of volcanic activity.
Oh, now, interesting.
What would cause so much volcanic activity? Well, how about a thought here tonight? How about a worldwide flood? That would cause volcanic activity all over this planet like nothing ever seen in the history of this Earth or going on today, which would give us iridium layers all up and down the geologic column. So there's one evidence that seems to be not exactly true or in disrepute. How about the worldwide extinctions? They say this meteor came down and killed all the dinosaurs. We know that that Yucatan crater is now considered to be too small to have done this. It used to be they thought it was about 300 kilometers in diameter. That's a large meteor. But now they've discovered it wasn't that large. They're now saying that wasn't the meteor that killed all the dinosaurs. Now, wait a minute. We've been teaching this as a fact in our school systems for many, many years that this meteor killed all the dinosaurs. Now, all of a sudden, scientists, not just creationists, but the evolutionists are saying this meteor was too small to have killed all the dinosaurs. So, wait a minute. How many times are we going to have to keep changing our story based on the facts of evolution? When did they become facts? Well, there don't appear to be any facts, because every time they make a fact, several years after that, we find out it was not true. Now, here's something else about that extinction. You know, some of the organisms that were during that period require uninterrupted light. And if that meteor came down and killed all these creatures, the dinosaurs, and threw all this smoke and everything that covered the sun, why did these creatures survive that required uninterrupted light? And how about the less mobile creatures than the dinosaurs, like the turtle? Why did it survive when it can't move that fast? How about things like plants, which don't move at all, really? Why did the dinosaurs, which were successful for over 100 million years, decide to die out from a meteor, and all these less mobile creatures seem to survive? So we have lots of questions about this alleged meteor. And think about this. There's been other catastrophic events that occurred in this world. For instance, in 1883, we had the eruption of Krakatoa, which nearly obliterated the entire island it was on. It was heard over 3,000 miles away. There was havoc and famine all over Europe because of this. But did you know it caused no global extinctions? So what about this story of 65 million years ago, meteor came down, struck the Earth, and killed all the dinosaurs? Even the evolutionists are now doubting that. They're looking for some other source that would have done this. So when we come back, I want to give you a quote about this smoking gun 65 million years ago. Then I'm going to give you some quotes that show what we've been taught is not true.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Pete Talbot just sort of sitting in with Mike Riddle and Creation Matters. So glad you've been with us this hour. We're going to be able to take another call or two real quickly. But I want to remind everybody, obviously, next Tuesday is Election Day, and we want you to vote. But we want you to vote early because we want you to be by your radio at 6 o'clock next Tuesday. We've got Ken Ham is going to be joining Mike Riddle. And he is the number one creation speaker in the world. And you are just going to be blown away and blessed once again on Creation Matters. And so be sure to join us next Tuesday. Now, for those of you, we're going to take a call real quick. We can maybe take an additional call. So if you've got a question for Mike Riddle, give us a call right now, toll free, 800-955-8200. Go ahead and call. 800-955-8200. And Mike, we've got a call.
Yes, we have a call. I promise you we're going to read some quotes, but I want to go to John on the cell phone. John, how are you today?
Oh, doing great. Thanks for taking my call. I had have a question for Mike, if he was going to cover the whole thing of evolutionists and the dinosaurs is based on it being 65 million years and all of this, which is based on carbon dating. And there was a gentleman, I apologize, I can't remember his name, I think he was out of Australia, that did a paper on this matter that the whole idea of carbon dating is wrong because it's all based on the speed of light being a constant. And if you look at the whole Big Bang theory, that in the first nanoseconds all this stuff happened, well, for that to happen would have been greater than the present speed of light, so that the speed of light is not really a constant, but it has been declining over time. And he did the calculations that proved that, from the Big Bang till now was really only just the, 12 to 15,000 years as actually shown in the Bible.
You're right there, John. When you talk about carbon-14, what you're really meaning there is the radioisotope dating, because we're going to spend a whole hour one time on carbon-14 dating and the radioisotope dating methods. And what you're saying there, John, is exactly right. The radioisotope dating today now supports a very young Earth. And that information is out there. The research has been well documented, and we're getting that information out to the evolutionists. And you know what the response is? They don't want to look at it because it ruins their whole faith in evolution. But you're exactly right. There's been many, many things today. And we'll talk about the speed of light in another show, too, because that gets into a whole lot of things. For instance, one of the shows we're going to do soon will be, if the universe is only 6,000 years old, how could that distant starlight reach us? And you know, we do have answers for that. And you know, the evolutionists are in big trouble on that question now, real big trouble. When we look at the cosmology and the universe and how big it is, they're in very big trouble.
John, that's just an excellent question. And like I said, you're going to have to keep listening to Creation Matters every Tuesday, because we're going to take whole programs. Mike is going to take whole programs dealing with different pieces to your question. So I'm sorry we're not able to go into more detail right now, but you are right on target there.
Well, thank you again, John. But now, if you want to get more information on this, you can go out to our website, creationmatters.org, and you can click on the Creation Matters icon there, and you'll see many, many papers written on this. And we have another caller now, Sarah, on a cell phone. You have a question for us, Sarah.
Yes. My question is it a possibility that the dinosaurs were here before the flood?
Were dinosaurs here before the flood? You betcha, because on day 6 of creation, God made the land animals, which were the dinosaurs. And you just brought up some great questions. If they were here before the flood, did they go on the ark? You know, here's one of the things. The biggest dinosaur egg we've ever found is about the size of a football. You know what that means about these great big dinosaurs? They had to start very small. They had to start small. And that means when God brought the dinosaurs to the ark, here's the question I'd like to ask you before I give that away. Anywhere in the Bible, does it say that God brought the great big grandpa or grandma dinosaurs to the ark? See, we've been led to believe God had to bring the great big mature ones, but it doesn't say that in the Bible. All he had to do was bring the young juvenile dinosaurs to the ark, and easily could have fit all the different kinds of dinosaurs, because when we started the show, we talked about how many different kinds of dinosaurs were there? Only about 50, maybe 100 at most. So plenty of room for the dinosaurs on the ark, the young juvenile ones, because if God would have brought the great big grandpa and grandma dinosaurs, they wouldn't have been able to reproduce that much when they got off, if at all. So the young juvenile dinosaurs went on the ark, they came off the ark, and reproduced for a while. So dinosaurs were before the flood, and they were after the flood. And how long did they exist? Well, maybe for quite a long time after the flood, because we do have some pretty good evidence of dinosaurs living with people. We have unfossilized dinosaur bones being found all over the world now. What does that suggest? They haven't been dead that long. So wonderful question there, Sarah. Thank you for calling in. And go to our website, creationmatters.org, and you'll find a lot more information out there. So thank you very much, Sarah. Now, I promised you I was going to read you a couple of quotes here. Here's a quote from March 6, 2003, talking about that big meteor crater. And here's what they have to say. They say, most scientists now agree it's the smoking gun, evidence that a huge asteroid or comet indeed crashed into Earth's surface 65 million years ago, causing the extinction of the dinosaurs. That was March. Now here's September 2003, just a few months after, from the Princeton Weekly Bulletin. And here's what they say. They have now accumulated evidence suggesting that the Chicxulub crater, the one in Mexico, did not coincide with the dinosaur extinction. In other words, what they're saying in that the meteor was at the wrong date, and it was too small. We even find it in science journals now that smoking gun was not the smoking gun. So we need to get back to teaching the good science and make sure we stop calling things facts or even theories when they're not. So when we look at the Bible, again, it says, in the beginning, God created. He created dinosaurs on day six. We have Behemoth. And we need to stop looking at movies and TV as if it's real science, folks. We need to get back to the Bible and what it teaches in real science. And again, next week, you have to vote early. And you will vote, people, because that's our duty to vote. And we're going to have Ken Ham, the number one speaker on creation in the world right here. And you can call him up and ask him whatever questions you want. And again, go to our website, creationmatters.org, and we need your support. Thank you, and God bless you, and in the beginning, God created.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic, or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website, creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.